Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, let's jump in. Sean Skinner from Fox 9 locally is here. Sean, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Sean and the team with his documentary unit, put together one about the North Stars leaving, the No Stars. And I watched it on Saturday, Sean, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Excellent work. And so let's start with Norm Green, because everybody wants to start with Norm Green, fair or not. After, let's just go there. Let's go there, because it's, and probably it's unfair because there's a lot more, but Norm Green is still detested by more people in the state than anyone. Okay. After you did all the work, and I want to get to the lengths you went to in trying to get an interview with the next question, but after all the work you and your team did, do you think now Norm Green deserves more or less responsibility for the North Stars leaving in 93?
That's a great question, and it's fair. That's a fair question. By the way, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, sir. Yep. We'll get to ripping DeRussia and Carter later. I'll save the delicious part for later.
We can definitely take an off-ramp there and go after those two guys. So do I think it's fair? Is he still villainized, or should he still be villainized? We tried as hard as we could to make this not be a Norm sucks piece, right? Like, we didn't get to Norm until the later chapters of the piece, or middle way through, and kind of explained, you know, how he was a hero when he first came in and purchased the team and kept them here and tried to do new things by, you know, implementing the lottery system and the electric stars and trying to get the fans much more engaged. There is a lot that we did not dip into as far as the depositions and the the court cases and the charges that were brought against them in the lawsuits. We basically dipped our toe in that because we thought it was fair to mention it. You can't just gloss over it and just be like everybody was mad at him or he took it because it was financial. But listen, the financial part of this was a
huge part.
Big deal.
Huge.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot to blame on Norm, but there's also a lot of local blame that is a big reason why they left. And, you know, moving to Target Center or finding a place in St. Paul or renovating the Mets Center or we didn't even touch on really the sports commission's real role in this.
Mm-hmm.
They had a role. They were, you know, interacting with Bloomington. They were interacting with Norm. Norm was interacting with Bloomington as a city who could possibly, you know, partner up with him and renovate the Met and give it the things it needed. But there is so much to Norm's big giant personality at the time. And the things that were happening here were that he just kind of blamed on, oh, you're Americans. Oh, I'm from Canada. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand how the office, you know, works. And I, there are some stories we heard. I mean, it wasn't in the documentary where he was given ultimatums at home about staying in Minnesota. We didn't touch on that because we didn't verify it. But those are stories we heard from people on the inside.
Well, that's a lot to chew on. Let me jump in on one part of it, and I'll get to other parts. This is right when I came back. So I came back in 90. You know, I'd spent most of my life here, but basically was gone for 6 years. And when he steps in, when Louis orchestrated another deal, I mean, Louis had orchestrated the deal in the late 70s, Cleveland. Now here's another one where the Guns want to leave and go to San Jose. And eventually we get Howie the Hairdo for a little bit, but we get Norm. Listen, right now among the owners, Polad's fair or not, are not liked, right? The Wilfs are liked because it appears they spend a lot of money, and right now they've hired people, individuals like Taylor. There's a divide on Taylor. Craig Leupold seemingly is liked, but Craig stays behind the scenes. There's no owner who in my lifetime has ever went as beloved as Norm was and hated, because we can't forget this part. I was there where fans, game after game after game, when he set up the suite for himself, which was like a suite that a billionaire would have, and took away suites, took away seats and areas for, you know, everyday diehard North Star fans to sit in, where they were bowing to the guy. Think about that, bowing to an owner in any situation. And that's what was taking place with Norm, with the zenith of his popularity.
Yeah, he was, and then he would complain about there wasn't enough suites and room for, you know, getting his rich buddies or season ticket holders into, you know, much more fashionable places instead of the common seats. But he was a hero initially.
Yeah.
And I think fans thought, great, this buys us some time to get the things in order that we know that this team needs and we know that this stadium needs. An owner isn't going to come in right away, who's also been part of a Stanley Cup winning team in Calgary, right? Like, he had a pedigree of winning in the NHL. So I think as a fan and as, you know, a person who appreciated the fact that he came in, we thought he was going to spend money. We saw him doing some things, and we just thought, this is part of that process. Nothing can go wrong here. And then they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. They make it all the way to the apex of what hockey is trying to accomplish. And now you think there's no way in hell that he's going to move this team. That's just, you know, he's just saying that, or we're hearing rumors of that, so that he'll get some help with the funding. And then all of a sudden it's carpets, you know, yanked out from underneath everybody, and that ball was rolling and there was no stopping it.
No Stars, when Minnesota lost pro hockey, that's the doc. I watched it this weekend. It's really good. A lot of new information. The man behind it, along with his team, with the Fox 9 documentary team, is Sean Skinner. He's with us. Let's talk about the finance a little bit more, because I was right in the middle of that also, because at the Fan, we had a gentleman named John Thomas who was working for us, okay? John Thomas had worked for the North Stars and left. And so John Thomas was giving myself and Barrero a lot of really good information. Well, another guy I knew well was Pat Forcia. Pat Forcia was still there. And when Dan and I were going with info, Forcia would call us screaming at us, that's wrong, that's incorrect. And Thomas would be telling us, no, the information is correct. But Norm is right about this, and you pointed out really well. When the shiny new toy was Target Center at the time, and yet people like my father, who thought the world started and ended in downtown Minneapolis, so come to downtown. Well, they needed more money. If they were going to share the revenue with Marvin Harve, and they really weren't even getting to share the revenue, because Marvin Harve were getting more than half, that never really was going to be enough. So I think the whole downtown Minneapolis thing, I thought in that area, Sean, Norm got too much heat because, people thought, okay, it's a new arena. It was about revenue and he wasn't going to get more revenue by moving. Or he wasn't going to get enough new revenue by moving downtown.
Well, another nugget to that possible move to Target Center was the branding. Well, our sponsorships here at Met Center are Pepsi and Frito-Lay, and your sponsorships at Target Center are Coke and the other, you know, whoever else is a competitor, and they weren't able to mix and match those as well, and I think that was a big problem.
Good point. Yep.
For both entities as well. You're never just creates complication after complication. So you're right. Norm was not going to bring in extra revenue going there. And the stadium secondarily was not made. It had the capability of having ice hockey in there.
It wasn't a good hockey facility.
No.
It just wasn't. I watched, there were the state tournaments there, but I remember watching hockey there and saying, this just isn't a good place. So let's get to this part, because obviously you want to interview Norm, right? He has been so reluctant to talk to anybody from Minnesota, and you've made this point, and it's clear from the doc. You didn't want to just do this, let's just blame Norm, because that's been out there. So he's in Calgary. You made attempts, and he wouldn't respond. And listen, you have a budget. This isn't like ESPN. But was there a part of you where you thought you and Elise, the photographer, should literally go to Calgary, and if you can Google his address and just approach his place, his business, and try to talk to him that way? Was that a consideration?
Absolutely. That was the option that I kept leaning on. My co-executive producer, Joe Augustine, and myself, we basically put this piece together. I mentioned to him a few times, I'm like, why don't we just drive? Our good friend Ian Leonard, who's from Canada, said, you can basically drive and cross legally from Idaho north into Alberta, mm-hmm. and drive to Calgary from there. And I was ready to go. Camera gear was ready. I know that it would, you know, I wanted beauty shots of Calgary.
Yeah,
I was thinking,
sure,
we have to make that attempt. It's very Michael Moore-like to do it that way.
I like it.
Ready to do it. I don't know that my bosses were ready to open up, you know, the purse strings for that. But
right.
Again, I was more than willing to take that route. Now, he's a difficult. There's a YouTube page I found from like 11 years ago, which seems like it has home movies on it.
Yep.
I don't know that he actually runs it. It might have been a kid. But when we reached out to Dallas, because we wanted to listen, we're trying to do this as respectful as possible.
And you don't know his health at this point either, right? You want it to be a sharp, acute Norm Green. If he suffered a little bit, then it's not fair at all.
No, it's absolutely not. And I don't think our plan was to ever, if we got him to okay an interview, I don't think it was ever we were going to go in there like a windmill swinging. I think it was always going to be like, we just want to hear your side. Tell us the business part
sure.
of this that caused the move, so that our fans that you basically walked away from 30 years ago and have never looked back. I don't know that he's ever stepped back in the state. We tried to get some information on that. The last he was seen was at a Hall of Fame event in Dallas for the Stars in 2018. Mm. And I take that back, 2022. And he was 89. He looked great. His wife Kelly was with him. He looked He looked exactly the same as Norm from back in the day. So we thought there'd be a chance. We went through Dallas. Dallas shut us down immediately. And why wouldn't you? They're the team that was moved there, and they mm-hmm. won a cup. So he's their hero, right?
I got to jump in because we're going to run out of time. I encourage people to watch it because you absolutely show the loyalty. That's the biggest, how loyal people still are to the Stars. And also, on the sexual harassment part, that part you explore, and that part cannot be forgotten. It's more than just Carey Dziedzic. That cannot be forgotten. But before you go, everybody knows the two biggest egomaniacs in media in town are, in some order, Adam Carter and Jason DeRusha. Which one of you is the biggest egomaniac in town?
Well, you know, we're weighing that now. We're actually kind of considering doing a documentary on both of them.
That would be great. Yes.
To see, you know, whose ego weighs heavier on the listeners of WCCO.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really tough. You know, they both talk about each other themselves quite often.
Yeah.
Jason's great though. I love Jason. He, you know, he talks about himself in a self-deprecating way. So he thinks he's canceling it out by being self-deprecating. But
he's a maestro of taking 19 positions within 1 hour.
It's fantastic. Yeah, and I mean, wearing probably three or four layers of clothing.
He has six on today. I think it's Carter. Harrigan, I think we agree. It's Carter right now. Because he then does again, I didn't look good. So then he gets 50 more texts. You look fine. You know, he just wants people to tell him how great he looks.
Jason's got the selfie game down, right?
Yeah.
But Adam's got the hey, look at the event or whatever I'm at posted.
Yeah.
He's got that down.
Carter does the sudden woe is me, but he really wants people to boost him up, and they do. You know, and we fall for it, and then he just looks in the mirror all the time and has
to go. So, listen, I've worked with both of these guys, away from the media, in the media. They're both fantastic. I love both of those guys. So let's make sure our viewers, our listeners. Well, okay.
Dave, you want to?
Fantastic's very strong.
That's a bit much. That's
you're
a,
fine. I, another fine. F word. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. All right, man. Thank you so much. Congrats. Only the best. Look forward to seeing more docs down the line.
Chad, can I just say thank you again? Also, you can find this on Fox Local or the Fox 9 YouTube channel. No Stars is playing now.
Exactly. I found it on YouTube. It was simple. No Stars. It's worth it. Thank you, Sean Skinner. Let me say this, and I'm on a text. Again, it's worth it. Are hockey fans better off because the North Stars left? Because the answer is yes. Do you agree with me that it was better for hockey fans in this state that the North Stars left? Agree or disagree? We're not going to have a lot of time because we've got to get to Senator Scott Dibble on more absurdity with Metro Transit in about 10, 12 minutes. But are you with me? It was better that the North Stars left. Text me, 651-461-9226.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, the biggest flaw, Dave, is an enormous flaw. Because for the folks who will agree with me and say, for the long run of hockey fans, it's better that the North Stars left, they're going to say, the whole point is to win the championship. We play to win the game, and they win a cup. We don't know. It's not an automatic that they win the cup here.
Certainly not.
It's not guaranteed. Too many people just assume all the same moves would have happened here. That is not guaranteed. But I get it when people say, now, wait a second.
Yeah. And Madonna in his prime would have been nice to see in Minnesota versus Dallas.
Sure, because you just have to remember how high-scoring hockey was.
Yeah.
In the early and most of the 90s. It was in the 80s, too, right? You know, I was looking up. I used to be buddies with Steve Payne. For some reason, Steve Payne came to mind. Steve Payne, the second year, 42 goals, right? It just wasn't that uncommon for a high-scoring guy in his second year to do that. And, again, we're dealing with Gretzky lately because what Ovechkin's going to do when he passes the goal-scoring record, although now he's out. It just – nobody's close to Gretzky in any sport in blowing numbers away. But they weren't getting the new arena. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. They were not – and people forget that a lot of 91, a lot of 92, a lot of 93. You know what they were having out there? 6,000. 7,000.
Well, they're, I mean, 8,000. Regular season after regular season, they were mediocre at best.
Yeah, but I'm talking attendance.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying they weren't winning. Yeah. They weren't drawing.
Right. Now, I'd say Louis had a team with a lot of talent. Like Louis said, the infamous comment one time, too much talent. But they had years when they had a lot of people. But this idea that gets so romanticized, and by the way, state of hockey, It's a marketing slogan. It's not real. Because when the Wolves and Wild are both the same, ladies and gentlemen, it's not close.
Hey, we can be the state of hockey and the state of hoops.
There's more interest in pro basketball compared to pro hockey, and it's not close. College, amateur, yeah, for sure. Then you can have an argument. By the way, college basketball, are you honestly telling me if Gopher men's basketball is good and Gopher men's hockey is close? It's not. It's at the amateur level. And by the way, boys basketball is surging. So stop. It's a great, great, great marketing slogan. It's a marketing slogan. But let's just be honest. 7 years stinks if you're a hockey fan when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get the new arena. And by the way, it's better than it's better that St. Paul has it. That it's St. Paul's entity. The arena is marvelous. The nickname stinks, let's be honest. But it's worked. They weren't getting a new arena in Bloomington. It wouldn't have worked sharing at Target Center. It's better that they have their own deal, and it's worked out extraordinarily well for them on the marketing side in St. Paul. Are you with me?
Which team made it to a Stanley Cup Finals, the North Stars or the Wild?
That's a flaw. That's a fly. But we don't know if that would have happened
just
here.
Just going to say.
And right now, it's not a rivalry between the two teams. It's not, because the Stars are kicking the Wild's butt on a regular basis. Bill Guerin, normally Thursday, he's got Team USA responsibilities today. Where's priorities?
No dedication to the show
this
year.
This show or America. He will be sanctioned for that. Scott Dibble on Metro Transit, the state senator. He's fired up. He should be. We'll talk to him next. I want to give KSTP credit for this part of the story because of their excellent reporting, but it deserves a conversation, that is for sure. And a part of the conversation will be State Senator Scott Dibble, who has been outspoken before in his criticism of the Met Council. And he is the chair of the Senate Transportation Committee. So Ernest Morales, who we tried to get on Dave a number of times on the show, rarely came on. And when he did, it was just short answers, dismissive answers. Well, he's been out for months as the head of Metro Transit Police Chief, right? And there was multiple reporting from outlets saying toxic work environment. So you think, okay, Met Council, very powerful, very influential. This is a public official. This will be a requirement that we will find out through a report what happened. But now we're being told that somehow, some way, from the Associate General Counsel for the Met Council, that Ernest Morales, again, the Metro Transit Police Chief, doesn't count as a public official. Now, Charlie Zettley's been on this show a number of times before. Wasn't available to Channel 5. And Dave, today, when we reach out to Charlie, did he respond in any way? Did not respond in any way. Senator Scott Dibble, it's always a pleasure when you're on the show and you're on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. When you found out about what they're saying about a lack of investigation, lack of report, and the fact that Morales is not considered a public official, what do you want to say about that?
Well, thanks for having me on to talk about this very, very important matter of the public's business. Appreciate it, Chad. So I was upset and incredulous, to be really plain spoken. The fact of the matter is that there was an investigation, and the public deserves the right to know what the nature and the findings were of that investigation. Chief Morales was the police chief of our regional police agency. And of course, there have been tremendous concerns in recent years. There's been some improvements recently, but, around public safety and riders feeling safe and secure on light rail and buses and the like. And so he had an extremely important and very serious public trust that he was to carry out. And it's vital for people to get to where they need to go, of course, on transit, and it's vital for our transit system to be vibrant and usable. And so, you know, this agency is a public agency. He, of course, is a public employee. Something went wrong, and it is the law in every other instance that we find out as the public or as representatives of the public what exactly happened, so that there's some measure of transparency and accountability for the tax dollars that we all pay.
Okay, do you buy the Met Council's explanation that as the law stands now, that the Metro Transit Police Chief, whether it's Ernest Morales or anyone else, is not defined as a public official?
I do not buy that at all. And if they're finding some hair to split, I think that's bad on them, because they most certainly understand, and Chief Morales would certainly understands that the scope and the intent and the purpose of the law, providing for the transparency of these investigations after they conclude, is intended.
Do you believe the Met Council is trying to cover up this investigation, trying to make sure it goes away and the public does not see it?
Well, you know, I can only speculate on their motive, but I can say that this is a part of a pattern, a larger culture, really, of the Met Council trying to stay out of the public light, and their hesitancy to be fully forthcoming with information, fully transparent. You know, there are glaring instances that have been uncovered by our legislative auditor. Our legislative auditor is our mechanism mm-hmm. of doing deep dive investigations into agencies and local units of government and the like, usually executive branch agencies. The Met Council tries to present itself as an autonomous, independent local unit of government, but it really is a hybrid of an executive branch agency, much like we think of the Department of Transportation or Human Services or Public Safety. And so, you know, it has those same mechanisms of accountability back to the chief executive, the governor. It has a governing body, the Metropolitan Council, on which council members sit, much like we would think of as county commissioners or city councilors. And then, of course, it depends on its legal authorities from state laws that are enacted by the legislature. So for it to try to avoid providing all the information that's required of it in its provision of public services like transits, like building LRT, like providing our sewer system, our housing systems region-wide, our park systems and the like, this is totally unacceptable.
This is State Senator Scott Dibble with us. It's 45 past 1. Shad Hartman here on CCO. We're talking about Ernest Morales and Metro Transit and the Met Council, and again, questions on efficiency, accountability, transparency, where now the Met Council is saying, even though Ernest Morales is out, multiple reports of a toxic work environment, they are saying that this position, the Metro Transit Police Chief, is not defined as a public official. Now, in the story, your quote is saying, okay, we're going to resolve this next legislative session. Is that going to be easy to resolve? And once it is, will we then see the report on Morales?
Well, to your first question, yes, I think it will be easy if there is a technicality that needs to be addressed so that employees of the Metropolitan Council are properly construed as public employees for all the purposes that we categorize folks as public employees. We will make that fix. As a matter of fact, I got a call from a colleague of mine in the other party pledging full support, wants to co-author the bill to make that fix. I don't have a good answer about whether or not it can be retroactively applied so as to compel the Met Council to relinquish the contents of the investigation they've done into former Chief Morales, but I'm sure going to try.
Do you have any doubts yourself, with the sourcing you have, that Ernest Morales is out because of the work environment he created?
Well, my only source of information is, you know, what I've been able to glean from media accounts. I've gotten no direct independent information from within the agency itself. But the public reporting did state that that there was something wrong with his leadership, that there were questions about his leadership. Things happened. I don't know what they were. And an investigation was being conducted. Remember, he was suspended for a period of time before he voluntarily separated from his employment. So something was going on.
For an individual,
you know, and we deserve to know what it is. I mean, he was the
100%
chief of police, you know, of the regional transit system. We deserve to know what was going on.
Couldn't agree more. And let's just emphasize that with this question. I mean, he was brought in because of the lack of safety. If you were on light rail or buses, simple as that, people did not feel safe. Did COVID and the number of people who weren't working and were working at home play a part in the numbers dropping? Of course. But people did not feel safe. So he was brought in much ballyhooed. He was going to come in and it was going to change. And when he made himself available, he cited a lot of numbers. But then all this reporting came out. So, Scott, if you are a citizen of the metro area or the state, and you want to believe in the safety and the efficiency and the future of Metro Transit in this city and state, why should you believe in it right now?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, and we should talk about, you know, why the Met Council should be more willing to come forward and be fully transparent with its successes and its failures. I mean, it really does try to hide the ball on its finances. It tries to, you know, it clearly tried to hide the ball on major expenses that were coming down the pike on the construction of light rail transit. It, you know, literally is hiding the engineering reports that gave rise to the evidence that their construction was causing the cracking of a nearby condo building. And, you know, I wouldn't criticize anyone for being a little dubious and a little skeptical, you know, and the reason we want public agencies to be publicly accountable and publicly transparent is because we have a democratic system. And the people who are responsible for making the major decisions about providing these essential services, you know, these are things that touch people's lives every single day. You know, transit gets people to where they need to go. Sewers, you know, make sure that our water is taken away and cleaned up before it's returned to the environment, you know, and it's a major public health initiative. And when an individual who's making those key decisions feels accountable to the public because every 2 or 4 years they have to re-up and stand for re-election, you bet that they're going to be driving really, really hard for, you know, better outcomes so that people remain satisfied with their work product. Conversely, when an agency just exists in a black box,
right, by itself,
they can kind of just do whatever they want. You know, the reason we had all those public safety initiatives, and someone like you know, was hired from out of state, like Chief Morales, is because the legislature got in on the act and said this is unacceptable.
Yep.
What people are telling us of what they're experiencing on trains and buses, and what they're seeing at the bus stops and the train stops. The filth, the disrepair, the bad behavior has got to stop. And so we compelled them to undertake an entire set of initiatives around making those improvements and provided them the resources and insisted that they report back to us on a quarterly basis exactly what was happening and how the numbers were going. You know, and thankfully, we had an active legislature tending to that. If we had left the Met Council, who has this governing body of, you know, Met Council members, but, you know, those folks don't respond to their constituents. They don't return phone calls. They don't respond to customer complaints or anything like that. When you call them, you get a call back from a public relations professional.
Yeah, right.
You've been embedded in the bureaucracy. So,
or you don't get a call back. I got to jump in. You make excellent points, sir. I will look forward to following this and greater oversight overall in the Met Council. And the public should see this report on Morales, 100%.
Right. And they should demand that their elected Met Council, Met Council be elected.
I agree. 1,000%.
Right.
And others were ahead of it, and I should have been sooner. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad.
State Senator Scott Dibble here on CCO. We're on the social platforms, at least some of them. There's 800 million, so it's not possible. Instagram If you remember your password, you'll go to it. Just don't remember your password.
I've got it. Saved in the phone. Boom. Yeah,
let's go.
Hits me right there.
Post a photo or two. Chad Hartman Show on the gram. On the X. And again, you're so right. We don't never should say formerly Twitter. If you want to say Twitter, fine, but you don't need the comma.
We're well past that point.
We're well past it. Just like this show, we'll never use this term marginalizing. We're dead with that.
I was very forward thinking of you.
Yes, thank you. At Dave underscore Harrigan, at Chad Hartman Show, and then the podcast. We're obsessed with podcasts. We want more and more people to podcast the show because we're on a quirky time. Chad Hartman Show, anywhere you get your podcast, we are contractually required. It is not our desire, but we are forced to chat with Jason DeRussia at 2:35. Your Lindis Construction time check. It's time for me to stop talking. And it's time for you to replace your old windows with Infinity from Arvin and get free insulation labor.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.